Thank you so much, Pastor, for the privilege of being able to be here with you. And we thank God for you and the work here at this church. I figure that if you're sitting down, why can't I sit down when I preach too, you know? So praise the Lord. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says, and when the demon man was freed from the demonology and transformed and the demon-possessed man, and verse 19 says, "How be Jesus suffer him not, but said unto him, Go home unto thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and how he hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the capitals how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." I don't know if Jesus has done great things for you, but by his grace, he's done unbelievable things for me, more than I deserve. And I just want to tell everybody how good my Jesus is, how wonderful my Jesus is, how great my Jesus is. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Let's pray for a minute. Father, thank you so much. Oh, Lord, I'm not worthy to be here. And really, I'm just a hindrance unless I get out of the way and you take control and you speak to my dear brothers and sisters. I don't know what their needs are, but you know, and they're here, and you want to help us, and you want to fill these needs. We come to you for help in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm named after a missionary to Cuba. So thank God for missionaries. My family's was reached by a missionary. That's where the name Elmer comes from. We came from Cuba in 1955, and in 1960, right here in Joliet, my mother passed away when I was 6 years old. I went to Cuba to live in Cuba, and I got to live under communism. Oh, God, spare us from becoming a communist country. Amen. God, have mercy on us, I beg him. And I lived under communism. At the age of 12, but through the freedom flights, I was able to come back to the United States. I was only in sixth grade, but I came to the United States. I was 6 foot tall. And they said, he's too tall for sixth grade. He's too tall for seventh grade. He's too tall for eighth grade. Let's put him in ninth grade. I marvel. I said, wow, what a country. They put you in school in the grade by your height and not by your knowledge. If that's the case, some would be in kindergarten still, you know. But I marvel, and I went, wow, and I went to high school. Then in Cuba, they grade you by letters. So I couldn't figure out why all my papers came back with my initial F on it. And there are all the papers with F and F and F. And I thought, oh, look, they put my initial on it. I didn't realize I was flunking, but I tell you what, don't get me wrong with what I'm going to tell you, but I thank God for public schools because they passed me anyhow. So thank God for public schools. By 16, I graduated from high school. I barely knew anything, but I graduated. I got a piece of paper. So praise God for that, amen? So then God, by his grace, I got my assurance of my salvation. After that, married a wonderful lady on December 23rd of 72. And in January 73, the second semester of the first year of House Anderson College, I came to House Anderson College. Wow. I was like, wow, this is great. God had called me to preach. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to live for him. I wanted to do something for him. But all of a sudden, I start going through classes, and wow, Hoover. That's a vacuum cleaner, isn't it? I didn't know all these things. I didn't have a good education. I'm married. I'm struggling with finances. I'll be honest with you, I got so discouraged I wanted to quit. I just can't do it. Then I got a little bitter with God. Dear God, I was in this country in 1960. I had gone to first grade. Why did you take my mother away? Why did you send me to Cuba? Why did you make me skip all those grades? Why? So I can face this torture now? So I can be in this torture? I was frustrated. I was defeated. I was mad. I was angry. Then God gave me a verse. If you look with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to help me out. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, unless I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I shall be exalted above measure. For this thing I sought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, what the Lord was saying is, see, Elmer, I want to use you. But I got to get rid of your biggest enemy. The devil, Lord? Nope. The world? Nope. You. You're the biggest enemy. You're the biggest obstacle. You're the biggest problem. I got to get rid of you. See, our problem is our ego. It's our egotistic, selfish nature. Our self-centered, our stingy, vain, self-seeking, relying on self, obsessed with self-image, proud, arrogant, envious. And I realized that God was saying, hey, you're your biggest enemy. Look in the mirror. There's your biggest enemy. I got to deal with him. I got to work with him. Lest I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I shall be exalted above measure. One thing God was telling me is this. Look, young man, let's get it straight. I don't share my glory with anyone. Amen. I want all the glory. I don't want the glory to be shared. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. So God, our biggest problem is a lot of our pride, a lot of our self, a lot of our ego. I know this is not popular, but we got to look in the mirror and say, hey, there's the problem. It's not other people. It's not all that. There's the problem. False accusations came against us, and we were accused of a bunch of things like that. And my wife said, honey, they're going to destroy you. Honey, they're going to destroy your testimony. I said, sweetheart, the only one that could destroy me is the one I look in the mirror. That's the biggest enemy I have. Adultery is because I want to be satisfied. Envy is because why didn't I get what you got? Position, honor, recognition. Greed is because I want more. Pride is I want to be number one. Indifference, I'm not affected. Rebellion, I want my way. Self-sufficient is I can make it. That's why we don't need to walk with God. We don't need to read in the Bible. We don't need to get along with God because we believe we can make it. How much time should we pray and spend in prayer? Well, how big is your need? If the bigger your need, the more time you need in prayer. Serving, I want to be served. Giving, I want more. Bitterness, bitterness, I always struggle with that, with envy. You name it, and it's all related to I. Said the Lord spoke to my heart as a young man, how Henderson College says, son, let's get it clear. These are not stumbling blocks, they're stepping stones. Because, see, by you having these obstacles, you have to come to me. I didn't know how to make the bills. I didn't know how to make it through school. While others were playing and doing, I would go alone, and I'd say, oh, dear God, I can't do it. I can't make it. I remember coming home and telling my wife, sweetheart, I can't do it. What a precious wife. We lived in Sherwell on Austin Avenue, across the track was a little park. And she goes, why don't you go spend time with the Lord? I go cry out my heart and say, God, I can't do it. And I hear a little voice in heaven saying, oh, I got you where I need you. Because once you realize you can't do it, now I'm going to do it. How many times we try to do the work of the Lord ourselves? That's why Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength. In the Bible here, Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. I take pleasure, most gladly, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, I am strong. I don't know, but it's tough glorying in my infirmities, disease, disability, mental or physical weakness, reproaches, disgrace, false accusations, necessities, lacking of means. Oh, if I only had. Oh, if I only had. Spanish world was always there. Yeah, but you in America have money. If we only had money, you have buildings. If we only had. Persecutions, attacking your reputation, your family, your life, your church. Distress, cause sorrow, misery, discomfort, heartbrokenness. I said, Lord, what are you doing? He says, I'm getting you out of the way. I'm getting where you cannot do it. I'm getting where you are worthless. I'm getting where you fail. And when I get you to that point, then now I can start working. Now I can do it. See, we're saved by grace, but we serve by grace. It's not something we deserve. He does it. So he could get the glory and the honor. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29, the Bible says, for see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound all the things which are mighty. And the base of the world, and the things which are despised, that hath God chosen. Yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. 1977. By the grace of God, I graduated from Howe Anderson College. And they sang, to God be the glory. Oh, that's become my favorite. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Then Brother House asked me, we had a Spanish ministry, Rose O'Brien, that started in 66. And the Spanish ministry had been going here for a while. I had a dozen ladies, three or four men, a bunch of kids. I had worked on the junior church during college. And now Brother House, to my surprise, asked me to be the first Spanish pastor. I'm like, oh, wow. We're going to have Spanish services. It's not the same thing with translation. It's not. You lose it. It's nothing like your own language. And after all, the Spanish is the heavenly language. You all learn it up there when you get there. But seriously, I'm thinking, Lord, I can't believe he's asking me this. But three Spanish pastors told me, Elmer, listen, son, come down to earth. What you're seeing in the American world cannot be done in the Spanish world. He says, no. Spanish are Catholics. Spanish are tradition. Spanish are, no, you cannot do it in the Spanish world. So you get it off your mind. I didn't know of any work running more than 100, 200. And here were the days of God working in the English world in the 70s, and I was enjoying what was happening and the blessings all over. And all of a sudden, they tell me, no, that cannot be done. Then I remember Saul telling David, they're not able. They're not able. Moses, you can't free the people from Israel. You tried and failed, but God was able to. Joshua, you cannot knock down the walls of Jericho, but you know what? God was able to. Gideon, you can't make it with 300, but God can. Peter, you tried on your own and you fail, but Peter, filled of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 were saved. So what am I telling you? I got to say, well, God, why can't you do it? I'm nobody. And I don't understand why, I mean, translations here, why would they want to hear me instead of Brother Howes? But there we went and started working and working and working on it and saying, Lord, can you do something? And I'm just sharing this for the glory of God. By our 10th anniversary, we went from a handful to 3,029. In the 13 years, over 40,000 people walked down the aisle to receive Christ. Other people start seeing it, other Spanish start seeing it and say, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what's going on?" I said, "Can God do it?" I said, "God can. Let me share with you what he's done with me by his grace, and what he could do with me, he could do with you. And he could do something with you. He could do more. And we don't have to compare each other by numbers or this, but God can do more than we think he can. God sees more in us than we see ourselves. God is able to do more than we think he could do. Sometimes we're the one that limit him. But see, we need to be realizing that it's the Spirit of God that's going to do it. Are you with me now? 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We definitely need the Holy Spirit. I remember John Rice teaching in the fullness of the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit. And I start seeing that and say, oh, dear God, all these Spanish churches are not doing much, and look what you've done by your grace. Should we share with them? Should we share with them what you have done? Soul winning is just sharing what God has done for me. Amen. And in the conferences, we just say, we want to share what God has done. God has done. And if he's done it with us, he could do it with you. 20 years ago, Alejandro Cordova came to a conference in Guadalajara, 80 people. Today, the church is like 1,500 or more. Campeche, we had a Manosai Cocom come to a conference, and God worked in his life, because we start realizing, you know why you're failing? Because you're doing it. It's not the Spirit of God doing it. And start sharing it with them. Oh, we get fancy sermons and fancy outlines. We get the introduction and point one, two, three, applications, you know, illustrations, conclusion. Very pretty. I said, why don't we dump all the sermons to the trash? Why don't we just start preaching messages? Get along with God. Get a message from God and say, folks, here's what God has given me to give you. And all of a sudden, God start working. Do you believe God can? Do you want God to do it? Are you willing to crucify the biggest enemy you have? You know what's that biggest enemy? You and I. Yeah. That's the biggest enemy we have. See, we have to realize that God can do it, not us. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, which is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Long time ago, I heard something that helped me. I said, what does being drunk with wine have to do with being filled with the Spirit? And then a preacher explained, and boy, that hit me. You know when you're drunk, how the wine controls you? Your walk, your talk, your action, your morals, everything. It takes control of you. He says, you know what God is saying? Hey, like wine controls the drunkard, how I wish I could control you. How I wish I could be in control of your life. You know, let me ask you this. Is he sitting in the driver's seat? Is he sitting in the throne? I don't know about you, but I have a real battle. I got one throne, but two kings. And they both fight for that throne. King I and King Jesus. And I don't know about you, but that's my biggest battle. It's getting I and saying, get down from that throne and give it to him. He deserves it, not you. And that daily fight with him, and that daily fight, Lord, just crucify myself. Crucify myself. If you don't bring your cross and come, and follow him, you're not worthy of him. What's the cross? To say, Jesus, here's the cross. Only you could crucify me. Get me out of the way. But if you don't get me out of the way, I cannot do it. And it's the Lord that's going to have to do it. Are you with me? If he doesn't do it, we're not going to do it. By the grace of God, we started in the Spanish conferences in 1990. I told Brother House, he didn't want me to travel more than two or three times a year. And I said, but Brother House, all these conferences, said they can't come to pastor school. I want to take pastor school to them. Matter of fact, the Bible I have was given to me by Dr. Jack House. He gave it to me. And I said, Brother House, I said, I got to travel more. He says, Elmer, you cannot travel more and run this ministry. So finally, I had to say, well, then I'm going to go full-time into the conferences. I didn't want to do it. I wrestled with God to do it. I battled with God to do it. I said, Lord, you got to show me this is of you, because our church was running almost 1,500 at the time. And last year, we had over 6,000 some public professions, 1,800 baptism in the Spanish ministry. And I want to leave it. I had a house that had been given to me, a car that was rented. And I was in Puerto Rico, and I was battling with the Lord. I said, Lord, but I don't want to do it. I said, okay, who's sitting in the driver's seat here, you or me? He said, what you want or what I want? I said, okay, but Lord, I just want to make sure. Would you make it where Brother House will call me when I get home? In 18 years, Brother House had called my house one time. I told Martha I spent the night praying in Puerto Rico out there. And I came back, and that Saturday, Brother House calls me and says, Elmer, what's this about you leaving? Oh, I haven't talked to anybody about what? I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Oh, I got a young lady here that heard somebody say that you were going to go to Miami and start a church in Miami. This, what about you leaving? I said, preacher, that's not true. I'm not going to Miami. I'm not thinking of Miami. Oh, okay, then never mind. Forget it. I said, no, sir, we got to talk. Because you just call me, and here's what I just prayed. Oh, Elmer, that would be the foolish thing you could do. We don't have nothing to talk about. So I said, okay, Lord, you got to help me. I wrote him a letter with my burden. And I said, I will not go, Lord, unless my pastor approves of it. Saturday, Brother Howell sees me in his office and said, Elmer, I need to talk to you after this men's meeting. I went and talked to him, and he says, I read your letter. I said, yes, sir. He said, I hate to see you go, but I believe it's of God. I couldn't believe it. I said, Lord, you really want me to do this? He says, yes. That's what I want you to do. Somebody gave me an old junker of a car, 71 Impala, 1990. The car barely made it to Texas. In Texas, it broke down, and they told me it was going to cost a few thousand dollars to fix it. I said, leave it dead. I'm not going to resurrect it. Brother House told me, I said, you're not going to raise money for conferences. Nobody's going to be giving you money for conferences. Unless you're a missionary in a mission field, nobody's going to give you money. I said, but I believe God wants this. I had no idea. No car, no salary, no funds. By the grace of God, miraculously, God gave us a car. God gave us this. God gave us that. And in all these years, not been a single conference canceled because of lack of money. 15,000 young people, over 15,000, have surrendered to serve the Lord in these 42 years. Oh me, this year we're planning 33 conferences all over the Spanish world, 20-some thousand people coming to it, and having over 1,000, 1,200 preachers coming to it. I'm not here saying, oh, look what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything. Matter of fact, anything bad done, take credit. Anything good done, I can't take credit because I didn't do it. He did it. Are you with me now? But I didn't realize God wanted to do bigger things. God wanted to do greater things. God wanted to do things that were beyond my comprehension. Are you with me? Do you believe God could do more with you than he's doing? Do you believe it? Or are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with the condition? Now, please don't get me wrong. I know I'm a Spanish speaking to Americans, and sometimes it could go the wrong way. But let me share you what's been shared with me today. 42 years ago, Oh, what's being done in the English world cannot be done in the Spanish world. Okay. By God's grace, we saw God do unbelievable things. Things that Mexico only had like 400 or 500 independent Baptist churches. Now it's like 3,000. And what God has done is unbelievable. You know what I'm hearing now? Oh, what's happening in the Spanish world cannot happen in America. And we're like, whoa, what happened here? Is it that cannot happen or that we believe it cannot happen? Well, Brother Frank, we're living in the last days. So the last days are all over. And God is doing great things all over. So let's get this mentality out. For number one, let's thank God for our adversity. Let's thank God for our problem. Let's thank God for the things that are coming at us. And say, okay, Lord, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for griping. I don't understand it. I don't understand why my brothers have put me here to sell me. And then I go to Egypt. And then I'm accused falsely. And I end up in jail. I don't understand, but I trust you. And as long as the hand of God is upon you, God can do unbelievable things. And it's not that we're looking for that. I never looked to be a conference speaker. I never looked to be conference director. I just saw a need and said, Lord, could you help me fill that need? Can you help me help my other churches? Well, Brother Fernandez, but what about your ministry? I said, number one, it's not my ministry. It's all God's ministry. We got too much of this eye. I want to build my church so all others could see what I've done. There we go with that eye again. We're not building a church so others can see what I have done. We're building a church to help people, reach people, save people, and see homes transform and see people bless. Do you believe God can? Do you desire it? How badly do you desire it? I was preaching in Mexicali in 1982, my first conference, a 29-year-old young kid. And I was out with God, and I had a glass of water with me, and the area there in Calexico, California, man, just as dry as could be. And I pour a little bit of water, and that dirt just sucked it. And I pour more, and it sucked it, and I pour the whole glass, and it sucked it, it disappeared. And then I heard a little voice say to me, Elmer, are you that thirsty? Are you that thirsty? When you get that thirsty, I could do something with you. But we're not thirsty. Oh, we're thirsty for fame. We're thirsty for things. We're thirsty for this. We're thirsty for that. But for God to use me, not to be recognized, not to be acknowledged, for God to use me to reach people and help people and bring glory to his name. Are you thirsty? Are you willing to pay the price? There's a price behind it. Are you willing to pay it? I remember when Brother House asked me to preach and be a Spanish pastor, and that weekend my wife ended in the hospital. Her esophagus got all closed up, and she wasn't here. It's St. Joseph, what is it? St. Margaret's right here. And she was there, and we were having a real serious time. I don't know what was happening. I went to, Sunday was our first Sunday service. I went to our little apartment and got our wedding album. See, I got reached by my wife. She's the one God used to bring me to the things of God. She had been the biggest blessing in my life. And I mean, really, it still is. Very sick girl nowadays, but tremendous blessing. In the middle of the battles, many a times I said, sweetheart, I feel so bad that I put you into all these battles. And he says, number one, you didn't put me through it. And number two, I didn't come to be for a ride. I came to be a soldier next to you. Wow, what a wife. I went to my apartment. She's in the hospital Sunday, first Sunday. I opened an album and started thinking of the beautiful life we've had together. Oh, 5 years of marriage. What a wonderful 5 years, all through college. What a helpmate. Then I heard a little voice, the Holy Spirit say, Elmer, are you thirsty for me to use you? I said, yes, Lord, I him, then I got to take Martha. Oh, Lord, no, I gave you my 68 Camaro Super Sport. That was tough, but I did it. I said, I wanted to be an architect, and I gave that up, and I gave you my life, but not her, Lord. He said, then you're not serious. You're not willing to pay the price. Are you willing to pay the price? Yes, Lord, but please. All night long, praying and looking at the album. Close to sunrise, I took out my little white flag and said, Lord, if that's the price I've got to pay to be used by you, take her. But forgive me if I cry. But take her. I go see her. That was Saturday night. Sunday morning, I went to pick up people and went to church and all that. And then after the service, I ran over to see her. In those days, they were limited to visiting hours. When I went to see her, she was sitting up, doing much better. Man, I went, what happened? He says, I don't know, but early this morning, I got better. And there she was. You know what the Lord was saying? Abraham, give me your Isaac. What is it that you love more than him? What's hindering you? Are you willing to let go of it? And then lastly, well, not lastly, I want two more things. Are you willing to crucify yourself? See, the problem is this, and I realize that. The problem is I cannot be filled with the Spirit if I'm filled with self. There's just no way. I cannot fill a glass of milk if it's full with water. It's so simple. I got to dump the water to fill it with milk. So God wants to fill us and use us, but he's not able to because we're already filled with self. And unless we get that self out of the way, that I out of the way, that ego out of the way, and say, crucify me. Not that I live, but Christ liveth in me. And now God can fill me with his Spirit. And then, like it was said, then pray for it. Pray for it, believing that God could do greater things. I remember in the year 2000, they were talking about everything coming to an end. And everything being a mess, and the computer chips, and the this and that. So we planned our biggest conference in Celaya. Biggest conference had only been about 2,000. I said, Brother Cordova, let's shoot for 5,000 for the year 2000. Well, friends, but that's going to be impossible, this and that. And by the grace of God, God provided the finances. They didn't even have the bathrooms. We had to build bathrooms, do all kinds of things. And by the grace of God, we have 5,000 and 2,000. 140 some surrender full-time service. God can. I said God can. Even with us. But we need to pray and say, dear Lord, will you do it with me? Do you believe? Do you desire it? Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to empty of yourself? Are you willing to pray and say, Lord, I'm tired of a mediocre life. Be careful with what you pray, because here's what I prayed. Lord, if you're not going to use me, then kill me. What's the sense of living if you're not going to use me? Just kill me. Just kill me. Boy, every time those planes went, Lord, I was just joking. I wasn't serious. No. You believe the Lord wants to use you? Let's pray.